What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in the final NBA slate of the 2017-18 season. This is going to be the final NBA podcast of the year for us, of course. Not the final podcast. We will be doing some baseball shortly after a break for my brain to start to recalibrate for a moment after breaking down all of these slates. It's pretty awesome to have completed two full seasons of NBA with the support that you guys have offered via Patreon, via Twitter, via iTunes, just everything, you know, getting to know people throughout that. So if you are a listener to the show and I don't know you, I appreciate you. I do. I've said this before, and I don't mean this as a humble brag, but this has literally started as me being a stay-at-home dad with my two sons and going crazy because I was not working. I stopped working for a little bit and had to do something. Started the podcast. Podcast takes on a life of its own in the middle of NBA season last year. The rest is history. But a lot hasn't changed. I still do my notes at the desk in the playroom, and I still record every single episode standing in the master bedroom closet. No joke. I've never been affiliated with anything larger than just myself, Ryan and Josh, Mike, Alex, the guys. So it does mean a lot to have your support, and I appreciate it. You know, and I hope that you guys have learned something about NBA DFS this season, gotten better. That's always the idea. Get better. Have fun. You know, winning is fun, and learning how to play this game, DFS, is a great hobby. It's a great way to, you know, just waste time and probably waste money, but also waste time and have a lot of fun doing it, you know, and building lineups and competing is a really, really fun pastime. And I hope you guys are enjoying it. And I appreciate your support. If you've been a listener, the one thing I'd ask, write a review on iTunes. It's always helpful. It helps people find the show. Go ahead over there to write a 5-star review, you know. And I appreciate it. If you've been listening for a while and, you know, you're not going to be a baseball guy, reach out. Just say, Sean, thanks for the season or whatever the case may be. It's nice to know that people are listening. I'm not just talking into a rack of shoes every single day. I am, but I mean, you know, there's people on the other end, I guess. Let's get into this slate. It is a big one. It is a big, big, big slate. Some of it is just absolutely disastrous. A lot of it we're not going to really completely understand because we have to get the news. And with all of these slates, you know, it's such a cop-out, I'm sure, if you're like, well, we gotta wait for news. It is, though. I mean, guys, we can't really make any solid projections about who's going to get minutes, etc., until we understand what teams like Cleveland are going to do. Is Boston going to mail it in against Brooklyn? You know, these stupid kind of things. We have to figure out exactly what is going to happen. Now, the slate itself is 10 games total, but it's only 10 games on DraftKings. It's not 10 games on FanDuel.com, which is a little frustrating. You are not going to have the the Utah Portland game on DraftKings, on FanDuel. Don't know why. My guess is just because all the other games start at 8. They just decided to group them together there and just leave it there. I have no idea. Anyway, we'll deal with it. We're going to have to figure out what to, you know, how to work around it. It would be nice to have access to that late game, but we're not. We're not going to have access to that late game. So we just got to kind of work around it and you know, concentrate on the very few spots that we have available to us that are playoff relevant, and then the value, guys. I mean, hey, listen, some of the top scorers last night, Dragan Bender, Shaq Harrison, you know, I mean, these guys are the guys that you concentrate on, you know, not your LeBrons and Kevin Love, but those guys aren't going to really get it done. It's the value guys who have something to prove coming off the bench, and that may mean leaving salary on the table. It also just means assembling a high floor opportunity, and you have to be aware of who is going to play and who has a ceiling when they do play. So Let's go ahead and let's get into this slate. Let's figure out exactly what Vegas has to say. I'll try to get my best information to you guys about the injuries and the rest candidates and all that kind of stuff, the totals that we see. And a lot of that's going to be reflected in the total, right? Vegas knows more than we do, as always. And so we trust what their numbers say based on what they project for resting players, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's go ahead and take a look at tonight. First game of the night, Toronto at Miami. Miami is favored by 6. Well, what does that immediately tell you? It tells you that you are probably going to get rest for the core Toronto starters. They're locked into the one. They can't change anything. Miami, however, interesting situation. They are down there in that 6-7-8 scrum with which is a really, really tough scrum, by the way. Milwaukee, Washington, and Miami. Not thrilling to have to face any of those teams if you are Toronto, Boston, or Philadelphia. Not awesome. But it is going to shake out. We are going to see who is going to be where in that spot. Now, the 4 and the 5 are locked in. 1 through 5 are locked in the Eastern Conference. So it's 6, 7, 8 that we need to worry about. Miami wins here. They will go up to be tied with Milwaukee, so long as I believe Milwaukee wins. As long as Milwaukee loses. Now, if Milwaukee wins, then Miami will be locked into the 6th seed. The 7th seed. Okay, and that's Miami-Boston. If Miami wins and Milwaukee loses, then they will go up to the 6th seed because they have the tiebreaker with Milwaukee. They have the better record than, they won 3 of 4 against Milwaukee this year. And they will go to the 6th seed. So, Miami, presuming that they win, they get the 6th seed. They will take on Philadelphia. If they lose, they get the 7th seed. They'll take on Boston. They are at home right now with an opportunity to close out this season. Now, if they lose, they still take the 7th seed because if they lose, I believe if they lose, then they tie with Washington. I don't actually know that Washington can jump over. I don't know that Washington can jump over the Heat, right? No, they're tied right now. So if they lose and Washington wins, then the Wizards will get ahead of them, okay? But if they both win, Heat have the one spot advantage over the Wizards, so they would finish ahead of them. So the only way the Wizards can get to the 7th seed is if the Heat lose. But right now, Vegas telling us that they are 7-point home favorites indicates that they expect Toronto to be rested, which makes good sense. And we got to pay attention to what could potentially happen here to the Toronto roster against a tough Miami team. Not that interested. I think you see 25 minutes, 24 minutes, maybe some rest for DeMar and Kyle Lowry. That would be smart. But 20 minutes at the most just to keep rhythm, just to keep them on the floor. 20 minutes for, I don't think they're going to play Fred VanVleet because he had that back thing. 20 minutes for everybody else. There has not been anybody who really exceeded 28 minutes here. Pascal Siakam against Detroit did. Nobody really beyond that going to get too many minutes. So there's not a lot to love about this roster here for Toronto, especially against a stingy Miami defense playing for their seed. So I'm avoiding Toronto unless we get, a bunch of guys just resting. But my thought is that what Casey's going to do is just play everybody 20. Stretch your legs, stay in rhythm with your unit, get back on the bench. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Knicks at the Cavaliers. This is a 219 total here. Cavs are favored by 15 points at home. They're obviously favored, but they can't move, which is strange. I mean, unless the 76ers lose. If the 76ers lose to Milwaukee, then and the Cavs win, then I believe they – hold on, let me see. Because you need to know who wins the series, 76ers, Cavs. God, you do all the other research on this. I would believe that the Cavs would jump to the 3 seed in this situation. That's – Anyway, so 76ers, but they're in control. They have to win. If they win out, they beat Milwaukee tonight, then they will get that spot. They will get the 3 seed. Cavaliers obviously want to win here at on the road in New York. At home in Cleveland, and they did the other night easily. LeBron, just 48 fantasy points, a nice game for him, but not a phenomenal game from him. We saw a really nice spot from Kevin Love, which I was talking about, and then, of course, didn't actually end up playing him. Other performers in that game, not a lot of numbers from anybody specifically. JR had a game just shooting. He had 30 minutes and played really, really well. Rodney Hood is probably going to be held out with his hip injury. I don't know. I mean, maybe some Jeff Green. I could talk myself into some Jeff Green. If we get some resting candidates, then we'll see. I don't know. But I mean, if I'm Cleveland in this situation, honestly, if I'm Cleveland, I'm not trying to win this game. I'm resting people. I'm resting Kevin Love. I'm resting George Hill. I'm resting Rodney Hood. All these guys who've had nagging injuries, I'm resting them. And it doesn't matter if you win or lose. If you win, great. Maybe you're the 3 seed. But if you lose, in fact, I wouldn't mind losing to this Knicks team. You rest LeBron to lose, you get the 4-5 matchup against Indiana. That's locked in. No problem with that. I would rather play Indiana if I'm Cleveland than play Miami. Right? That, definitely. And you still have home court over Indiana. So that's where I'm at with, if I'm Ty Lue, that's what I'm doing. Milwaukee at Philadelphia. 106-112. This Philadelphia is favored by 6.5 at home here. Got the win against Atlanta on the back of Ersan Ilyasova. Another guy touted him yesterday, didn't play him. Got just so infatuated with Domantas Sabonis. damn it. Anyway, and I like it again. I think you go right back to these secondary guys. What they're going to try to do is not put a ton of stress on Simmons. They're not going to try to put a ton of stress on Simmons. JJ Redick has been shooting phenomenally well without Embiid in the lineup. Dario Saric, not so much. Amir Johnson had a nice game last night as well. Of course, Milwaukee is going to be gunning for them, and we have to presume, I guess Giannis is going to play. I got to think Giannis plays, because Milwaukee's situation is such that they are currently in control of the 6 seed. If they win, no one can catch them. Now, if they lose, they tie with the Heat, they drop to the 7 seed, which is a problem, right? If the Heat and the Wizards, if you have a 3-way tie, Bucks, Heat, Wizards, the Heat go to the 6 seed, okay? And the Wizards and the Bucks, let me see, Bucks, Wizards series, you have to know what the Bucks... Bucks Wizards is tied, so then you go, they've tied it 2-2, so then you go to the conference record, which, so long as the Wizards win tonight, would be go to the Wizards, so it'd be 6-7, and the Bucks could drop to the 8 seed hypothetically and go back against Toronto. So Bucks obviously want to get a win here, play the 76ers, which, God, can you imagine Giannis versus Ben Simmons in the first round? It's so fun. That's just a treat. Like, that's just, the basketball gods are just treating us to joy. Preview here. Very interesting spot. But if Giannis doesn't play, that's complicated. On the 76ers side of things, they want to win. They've been having to go for it, though. I mean, this winning streak is ridiculous. They are obscene. They've won 15 in a row. Can you imagine they closed the season winning 16 in a row? Be on alert. This team is ridiculous. Milwaukee, tough opponent, though. We'll see what they bring to the table. Of course, Denver, Minnesota. Bomb, bomb, bomb. The Target Center is going to be rocking. St. Paul, get out your wolf hats. That was not motivating. 211 total. Wolves have home court advantage, 3-point advantage. That is it. That is all Vegas is saying. He's saying that you're playing at home. There's your 3-point bump. Go. Be done with you. Man, this is going to be a good one. These two teams, I mean, they're very, very, very well constructed. They're good teams. They've faced off. They've split the series. Right now, it's 2-1 in favor of the Wolves. Obviously, the Wolves now are really, the question is how many minutes is Jimmy going to get? I don't think you can keep him off the floor. I think he plays 30, as long as he's not hurt. I haven't really watched a lot of action with Jimmy in it. But he's been 22, and he was very effective in that Laker game. Obviously, this is not the Lakers. This is the Nuggets. And he's not going to necessarily sit out a playoff game. It's not his personality. He'd rather go for it and take the offseason to heal a meniscus and just sit. Taj Gibson is questionable with the neck. He injured his neck in that game the other night. I don't know what happened exactly, but he's questionable. He did not return to that game. Now, if he does not go, expect a whole lot of Nemanja Bjelica there at the four, which is totally fine. I mean, it's not quite the same, and it's not going to be the same defensive presence. So if Taj can go, expect him to go and body up Paul Millsap. He is a pretty tough guy. A cortisone shot may just be exactly what he does there. Nuggets, they're healthy. Gary Harris came back. He played 20 minutes, just enough to kind of chop into the production of Murray, Barton, Chandler. We'll see. I believe that's what they will do with him again, because he did not look, he looked gingerly. The knee was sore. It was not perfect, and it was wrapped like a mug. So I would not expect him to really, really take off here in this one. I'm cautious about that. Going to be a great game. Clear the calendars, watch it. It's going to be fun. It's only on League Pass, though, I think. Memphis at Oklahoma City. You can find it on Reddit. Just find it on Reddit. Memphis at Oklahoma City, 114-97. Oklahoma City favored by 17 at home. OKC wants this one. They want to win. They want to stay in a positive seed situation for them. Obviously, they have a massive advantage here, 17-point home spread. So now we get into what happens in the Western Conference. Well, obviously, Wolves or Nuggets win and you're in, okay? Pels Spurs is a big deal, as is Jazz Blazers. So let's talk first about the Thunder. The Thunder win, they go to 48-34. They will jump whoever loses Pelican Spurs. So the loser of Pelican Spurs automatically is the 7 seed or lower. Okay, the loser of Pelican Spurs is automatically the 7 seed or lower. The Thunder win, they go to 48-34. They will be then tied with the Jazz or the Blazers. And if they are, and they will be tied with the winner of Pelican Spurs. So the loser of Jazz Blazers will be tied with the, likely tied with the Thunder and the winner of Pelican Spurs. That makes almost no sense. Let's say this. Jazz Blazers winner gets the 3 seed. Jazz Blazers loser gets into this 4-5-6 scrum with the winner of Pelican Spurs and likely the Thunder, assuming that they beat Memphis. Okay, now how that seeding shakes out, I'm not completely sure. You have to go to a combination of conference record, which the Blazers have the best conference record. So that's one thing. The Thunder Blazers series, and then there's a million scenarios here. And then you get into the whole, like, if the Nuggets and the Wolves tie with the loser of Pelican Spurs, I believe one of these teams has the winning record over them, and they would then push that team all the way down to the 8 seed. It's ridiculous how many different scenarios they are. I could talk for it about like 10 minutes, but I'm not going to. Bottom line, Thunder want to win. They have best control of their situation. I expect them to win handily against the Memphis team. They're at home here, close out the season strong, blow them up, right? Memphis, everybody's resting. It's all the same clowns that are resting. Evans, Gasol, Harrison, they're all resting. So Simmons, McLemore, Brooks, those are your guys. Rob, Deontay Davis, those are your guys. They're priced up now. So it's not really as that exciting. So I'm looking more towards the Thunder side of things. Moving over, San Antonio at New Orleans. New Orleans is getting the 3-point home favorite here. 2-11 on this one, San Antonio. You know, whoever wins this game is the five seed. I think that they will be the five seed. This is craziness, right? Come on, guys. Yes, they will be the five. Well, depends on who loses Jazz Blazers. This is just too much. Anyway, they both want to win, obviously. New Orleans at home, they get the 3-point advantage there. However, I believe the Spurs have won two of these games. So it should be a pretty tightly contested game already. So looking forward to this one. I think LMA is interesting. I think Anthony Davis is interesting. I like Deonte Murray. He's played really well in this matchup. That's about it. Washington at Orlando. Washington favored by 3 on the road in Orlando, which is just disrespectful, but they did lose to the Hawks the other day, which is a disaster. John Wall is going to sit, and Brad Stevens is going to say, listen, we can't not make the playoffs. It doesn't matter if we play Toronto or Boston. Obviously, they want to play Boston. They're a little bit more injury riddled. They have their number this year. They're 3-1 against them already this year. I think Washington can win a series against Boston just because the experience factor. They want to win. John Wall is probably going to rest. Brad Stevens is going to encourage him to rest, but he smashed last night. He might not take the night off. If he's like, listen, we have the chance to get the 7 seed. If Miami loses, which they're not favored to lose, they're favored by 7. They're probably not going to lose, especially if Toronto drops some games, right? Washington is going to have to stay in the 8 seed and just be okay with it and play Toronto, which is not ideal for them, but they had their opportunity. You shouldn't lose to the fucking Hawks, right? You could have played Boston. You shouldn't have lost to the Hawks. But you got to expect them to beat the Magic here, like Sato, like Beal. Otto Porter and John Wall probably not going to play. If Otto Porter and John Wall aren't going to play, and I'm Brad Stevens, I'm probably resting Bradley Beal too. What's the point? You know what I mean? Maybe rest them all and just say, we don't care if we win this game. It doesn't matter because we don't think the Heat are going to win. We're not really in complete control of the situation. Who knows? But I do like Satoransky in this situation. I like Oubre in this situation. If we get more resting candidates, I would like Mike Scott. That would be interesting too. The Magic side, nobody's playing enough time to really feel comfortable with any of their key pieces. DJ Augustine's the closest to 30, on a regular basis. Hezonja too, but I guess you could do some Hezonja if you wanted to be contrarian, a little bit different. Wes Iwundu, 30 minutes, not interested. You know, you're not going to necessarily play Aaron Gordon more than 28 minutes tonight. You're not going to play Vooch more than 28 minutes tonight. That's it. You know, I don't know, you know, it's hard to see any good reason to play those guys. Who knows where their motivation is at? Brooklyn at Boston. This one is a 102-104, 206 total here. Boston favored by 2. I think you're going to get Brad Stevens going to give these guys the night off. They're young. I think he's going to give Horford the night off for sure. He only gave Tatum 25 minutes last night, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see a guy like Terry Rozier get the night off here against Brooklyn. Not a meaningful game for them. So you look at the Brooklyn side of things. You can definitely attack here. We'll wait to see what kind of injuries we have from them. Caris LeVert will play, which is going to take a little of the Allen Crabbe value away. But if Joe Harris doesn't play, then Allen Crabbe could be interesting again here. Of course, on the Boston side of things, we want to attack the point guard. We want to attack the center. Now, if we get any of these guys ruled out, it's going to be Shane Larkin all day, Greg Monroe all day. I love both of those guys already. I think they could easily hit value. Greg Monroe has a ceiling against Brooklyn. He plays 28 minutes. You saw him in that Chicago game. 28 minutes, he became the offense. When you take all the rest of the starters off, you take Terry off, you take Jaylen Brown off, you take Jason Tatum off, Monroe becomes the guy who feels the most comfortable going to the basket. And you watch him play, he still likes to score. He loves, loves, loves to get to the rim. He's doing everything. He's playing pick and roll with everybody on that court. He wants the ball. And he can score. And he'll score. Like, he has no problem saying, I'm going to score. So definitely a guy that you want to potentially get in to your lineups. Moving over to Detroit at Chicago. This one is a 211 total here, and Chicago are 3-point home dogs. Dogs. What am I? I'm from New Jersey. What was that? 3-point home dogs. It's not much. I mean, I love the Detroit guy. The freaking FanDuel just jacked up their prices, by the way. Just 100,000%. Some employee at FanDuel just goes, these guys are too cheap, man. $6,700 for Eric Moreland. What the fuck? On DraftKings, he's $4,300. Thanks a lot, FanDuel. Take away the value plays that were such amazing locks. Stanley Johnson, Luke Kennard, Eric Moreland, Anthony Tolliver, any of them, play them all. Anthony Tolliver's the cheapest, so I like him the most. Chicago, I mean, we don't know who's going to be in, who's going to be out necessarily. Cristiano Felicio, 30 minutes, okay. Okay. Maybe Jerian Grant, okay. Now, you know, campaign maybe, I don't know. Nwaba hasn't done anything exciting of late. You know, Vonleh's still out with that calf injury. There's not much here, guys. It's Sean Kilpatrick, Justin Holiday, I guess, but, like, that's not that fun. Moving over to, now, this is, sorry. So I said the Utah-Portland game is not on FanDuel. Not only is the Utah-Portland game not on FanDuel, every game after Utah-Portland is not on FanDuel. So Utah-Portland, not on FanDuel. Sacramento-Houston, not on FanDuel. LA-LA, not on FanDuel. Those all are on DraftKings, however. We'll talk about them. You know, I think this is probably just because FanDuel's like, well, we don't want to deal with late-scratch bullshit, so we're not going to refund people, so let's just get all the 8 o'clock games that start at the same time. You relieve a lot of headaches there. You let people play the late slate. I don't know. You know, Utah-Portland, this is DK only. Portland is favored by 4. They're at home. This is a competitive game. Jazz blew up Golden State. You saw the playoff Jazz right last night. They played really, really well. Blew them up in the first half. It was like 30 by the third quarter. And Golden State didn't have anything to play for, obviously, but you saw how Utah was actually able to step on the throat in a serious way. They'll play a Portland team that just lost to Denver the other night. They looked, you know, Nurk, with the exception of Nurk, CJ was cold. Al-Farouq Aminu was invisible. Evan Turner, well, we know who he is. And Dame was trying to take over, but they actually played defense on him. I think Portland drops this game. The way that Utah is playing versus the way Portland just played in Denver, they did not play well. As long as you take care of Damian Lillard or CJ's not hitting, I think Utah gets this game. I think they're the 3 seed. I'm not going to lie. And I think that's, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I really believe that. I do. I think Utah takes this game. This is going to be a game to watch, boy. This is going to be the game. I think this game is going to be more exciting, more interesting than Minnesota-Denver. I think Minnesota-Denver is going to be a heavyweight bout. I think it's going to be under, it's not going to be a very high-scoring game. Those two teams, I think the character of them, I think they're going to just duke it out, slow it down, hardcore defense, nothing free, nobody is going to, unless somebody catches fire. So that's what I would expect. This game, however, I love this game. Utah-Portland. I would love shares of it on DraftKings. I like Rubio. I like Lillard. I like Mitch. That's about it. I want to attack the high-usage backcourt guys because I think the other peripheral guys will have to take a backseat, right? I just don't think that they're as interesting. And Gobert and Nurkic, the way that those two guys are playing, I think that they're going to complicate each other, cancel each other out. I mean, Nurk looked really good against Jokic the other night. Really good. And playoff Nurk isn't a thing that we know yet. But the man he's in shape. He seems healthy. Last year, remember, he had the back. He wasn't able to play against the Warriors. I think he's motivated, man. And I love Nurk. You know, I'm a Nurk guy, so you guys know how I feel about that. Rockets at the Kings. When the Kings are favored by 3, that's not a good sign. They clearly believe that there's no total here. I lied. I thought I saw that there was a total. No total here. My guess is that it'll be, you know, they're going to wait to see if anybody's resting. After Luka Mbamute blows out his shoulder, it's going to be real hard for Mike D'Antoni to justify why he's going to play Chris Paul and James Harden. Really hard. Really, really hard. He just dislocated his shoulder, re-injured something. I'm not playing him. Maybe 20 minutes. Maybe let him start the game. That's it. On back-to-back against meaningless game against Sacramento, there's no risk. You're one seed. Just get into the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some resting Rockets here, in which case you immediately would go to Gerald Green, and you would look at the potential front court. Nene, a guy like that would be really good against Sacramento here. Now, on the Sacramento side of things, not so much. You know, we know what the rotation is. You know, we know that Scal's going to sit out. It's going to be Jakar. Don't care. Justin Jackson, okay. Bogdan and Buddy Hield, all right. De'Aaron Fox, yes. I think De'Aaron Fox is interesting if Frank Mason is out still. I think he becomes a little bit more interesting. I don't know. Lakers at the Clippers. Let's see who plays. Regardless who plays, give me Josh Hart. That man, he didn't score in 12 minutes in the first quarter, came back and put up 33 fantasy points in that game. 12 minutes in the first quarter, because Andre Ingram scored all of their points. Good for him, man. The old man, Andre Ingram. Very, you know, he's a pretty special guy. He, like, works, he's a degree in physics and works, like, part-time in the offseason, and he plays in the G League. Really happy for him. And he can shoot, boy. He can really shoot. That was really cool. Josh Hart. Give me Josh Hart. I love him in this situation. I could even, maybe Julius Randle. Maybe, you know, they just aren't giving anybody any minutes. I think the Clippers are going to be the same thing. So if I'm getting Clippers bench guys, you know who I want. It's Montrez. You could do some Darius Thornwell as well. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Austin Rivers out again. I don't know. We'll see. But you got to wait for Clippers news to see if anybody's going to play. If it's the same lineup they rolled out against New Orleans, which I wouldn't be surprised. Let these older guys rest. They played a lot. We'll see. But then again, they could do like a fan home thing where, you know, you have Clippers, Lakers, the last season, the last game of the season, you know, everybody plays. It's fucking scrimmage. That is it. Wow. And that's a lot. Let's get into the player breakdown for a FanDuel, and I'll have some peripheral plays on DK as well. I know it's a pain in the ass that the two slates are separate, but let's talk players. All right. First things first, obviously Russ. Russ versus Memphis, 12-3, 11-9 on DraftKings. Yeah, I mean, I think Russ is a good starting point for all of our lineups here tonight. I think, you know, it just makes a lot of good sense to go to a guy who has a playoff-relevant matchup. He's a very, very capable scorer. We've seen some nice plus. It's a plus trend to start point guards against the Grizzlies. In the last 5, for example, we have seen a plus performance from every single opposing point guard with big games from guys like Damian Lillard and Jeff Teague. Both nearly went for 50, plus results for De'Aaron Fox, Rondo, Reggie Jackson. So it's a plus 13% trend right now for point guards against Memphis. Yeah, still very, very interested in that. And I would love to see Russ in this situation against them. We saw him, obviously, against Miami. Really, really turn it on, and, you know, triple double. Not to mention he's 18 rebounds away from averaging a triple double, or 16 rebounds away from averaging a triple double this season. He might go for it. He might. Steven Adams might help him get there. Right. That's the kind of thing where Adams just boxes out unless Russ grab all those rebounds. I don't know. He played against this team earlier in The most recent one was February, 66 fantasy points. So no problem with Russell Westbrook in this situation. I think he's a nice key piece to build around on FanDuel. I also, however, am interested in Damian Lillard. Now, obviously, you know, it's Utah. It's DraftKings only. He's 8,600 on that platform. But it's not a perfect matchup, okay? Obviously, it's Utah, phenomenal defensive team. They shut down Quinn Cook last night, like, badly. The thing about it is he's at home. He's fighting for his playoff life. You're getting, not fighting for his playoff life, but you're getting plus playoff performance from him in this situation. Two games he's played, he's had a kind of mixed bag here. 32 was the most recent outing. That's not great. But twice before that, 61 and 45 fantasy points. He's at home. We know he plays well at home. I think Damian Lillard is an interesting way to be different. You're going after guys. Guys against the Jazz just don't get played. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, despite the fact that he was in a good situation last night, given recent trends, 16%. I had him at 16%, and part of that was just because the slate was small. So I wouldn't be surprised if on DraftKings you get Damian Lillard at a pretty low percentage, especially considering Russ is in a really good spot, that kind of thing. So, you know, he's interesting to me. He's very interesting to me on DK over there. Now, at the shooting guard position, I don't think James Harden plays. I don't think there's any reason to. But if he does, obviously it's Sacramento. The issue you have here is exactly what happened last night. 40 fantasy points, 29 minutes. He doesn't have to apply himself. He's not going to apply himself. I don't think he's going to play. Let's pretend James Harden doesn't exist on this slate, and let's just move on. Okay? That seems silly, but he's 11K. You're not going to get 55 fantasy points from him unless it's on accident and he just hits seven threes in the first quarter. That's just not going to happen, right? And I don't think they're going to play him. I wouldn't, but, you know, what do I know? Moving over to the small forward position, Giannis, baby. Giannis Antetokounmpo. There it is. Giannis Antetokounmpo. I hope he plays. I hope he plays, but then again, if it's bothering him and they're just saying, you know what, it's not worth it, then that makes good sense to me. But he had 61 out here last time against this team in a very high-scoring competitive game, played 40 minutes, scored 35 real points, nearly a triple-double, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. We know he's in, he's capable of that ceiling. You know that they want to get involved. He had 60 in a game before in January. So this is a game that is exciting and interesting to me. I don't think that anybody can guard him at the 4. You know, there's really not anybody on this team that matches up very well. It's Covington, but Covington really not quite the speed, I feel like, to stay with Giannis or the length to stay with Giannis in this situation. So I'm interested in Giannis if he plays. I think that there you may get a little bit of hesitancy, a little bit of recency bias of, oh, geez, how's he been? I think it would be an interesting way to be different to get some Giannis into your life so long as he goes. He is 11-2. On FanDuel, 10-2 on DraftKings. So an interesting way to go here for sure. I think the results speak for themselves in two straight games against this team, 40 minutes, 60 fantasy points. That's pretty nice. And you're going to get him fighting. A fighting Giannis is a good Giannis. Maybe it's just that they knew that this game would come down to this game. And this was the only one that mattered. And they're just saving him up for this one. I don't know how bad the ankle injury is. Who knows? Power forward. You got LaMarcus and you've got AD. Now let's start with AD. He's 12K on FanDuel, 11-2 on DraftKings. Oh, did I say AD or KD? You know what I mean. I meant Anthony Davis, the Brow. El Brow. Okay. He's been very good. Obviously, the consistency is there. Over 30 minutes in all the last five, even in blowout situations, he's been playing over 30. Phoenix, they had control of that game. Clippers game, they had control of that game. You know, all those situations, he's playing over 30. And it's just because Gentry just doesn't want to take any chances. Makes good sense. I don't blame him. San Antonio, this is going to be a tough one. Winner gets the 5 seed. Winner gets the 5 seed. And yeah, winner gets the 5 seed, and the winner would then play the 4 seed. So loser of Jazz Blazers. Although I think the Spurs may be able to jump up to the 4 seed, which would just change basically this, you know, home court advantage. But you have to be interested, I think, in, you have to be interested in Anthony Davis at home in a situation where, you know, he's a must win. We don't know what a playoff Anthony Davis looks like. You know, we haven't seen that in any sort of relative in context. And this is basically the closest thing that you get to playoff Anthony Davis. He has struggled with the Spurs. 50 earlier this year, and when he was solo, no Boogie in the lineup, he had 48 and 40 against this team. So not a phenomenal matchup for him. Has not performed phenomenally well, but they've won these games. You know, they've won a couple of these games against the Spurs, which is a good sign. It's a sign that, you know, their offense works against this team, and he can handle LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, you flip that around, and LaMarcus has had some interesting results against this team. Okay, he's had similar outcomes to Anthony Davis. 38 points in his last game against them. One game he leaves with an injury. We saw him kind of a bust against Sacramento. He struggled, 15 and 14. I think 40 is the floor here. I'm going to say 40 is the floor. 35 minutes, 40 fantasy points is the floor for LaMarcus. Given the fact that Anthony Davis and LaMarcus are very similar in their potential outcomes, I'm going to go with a guy who's $3,000 cheaper. So for me, it's LMA over AD, and it's just a price thing. It's not necessarily, in a ceiling, you know, getting 4X from Anthony Davis versus 5X from LaMarcus Aldridge, you're going to have the flexibility to do other things in your lineup. And I'd rather spend my $12,000, I think, on Russ, frankly, in a much easier matchup to project against Memphis. There's definitely a ceiling opportunity there, 16 rebounds, for example. Let's move over to the center position because we have an epic battle, a showdown for the ages, one that we are going to hopefully, I pray, watch multiple years to come. Cat versus Jokic. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Two big, smooth offensive centers. Love it. Cat, 10-6 on FanDuel, 10-1 on DK. Jokic, 11-5, 10-6 on DK. Cat basically is, he had 44 here last time, okay? His usage was there. Okay, the minutes were there. 38 minutes, 24% usage, 26 and 13. No peripheral stats, no steals or blocks, only 4 assists. You start with that baseline, that's pretty good stuff. I like that from Cat. And we know that, you know, that's pretty consistent. His performances against this team have been very consistent. 47 in each one of these games. He's double-doubled in all of them. He's scored more than 20 points in all of them. I am interested in Karl Anthony Towns for the floor, and I think that his price is very, very reasonable. I think you get a very good sense of exactly what Towns can do in this situation at home. I think that's one of the edges that I give him, is he's at home in this spot. They're going to need him. They're going to feed him. I don't think that they are going to go away from him. They have to play with Karl Anthony Towns, and they have to use him. You know, everything has to revolve around him, and it's inside out from there. Now, Jokic went 6 for 20 against Minnesota. The ceiling was there. It was knocking because he had 16 and 14, 9 assists, 29% usage rate in 35 minutes. Listen, the usage for him is probably not going to go anywhere. We know the 20 points is going to go there. Can he make some more shots? And I think he can. So I think that the ceiling, the Cat for floor, Jokic for ceiling. Similar range of outcomes. With Jokic, however, you are getting a much higher ceiling. I believe you're getting a ceiling up into the 60s. Now, he hasn't done that against Minnesota this year. 31, 45, and then his most recent outing, we saw 50 from him. But, man, we know this guy is capable of 60-plus. he could catch fire and do it. He did 62, even with Nurk banging on the door there, you know, doing work against him. He goes for 15 and 20. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that Paul Millsap's just not in shape. He just isn't in shape. He's not playing as well in the last week. He's not rebounding as well. His defense has been fine, but he's kind of losing a step. And I think it's just because he's out of shape. I think not playing the whole season has hurt Paul Millsap's game. He's just not basketball ready. So Jokic to me has the ceiling, the 60 plus opportunity here, but Cat has a very clear 45 point floor to me, 50 point floor. Who do I prefer? I think Cat allows you to get to other things more easily, but if you're going to take some of this value that's on this slate, then you better play Jokic. There's no point. I mean, if you're debating between a 5K value player and a 4K value player, play Jokic and get the 4K value play, right? And that's what I'm saying here. Moving over to the Grout 9K and below, let's talk a little bit about the point guard position. I'm into Ricky. 19 minutes, 35 fantasy points. Come on now. Ricky Rubio. Give me some Ricky Rubio. I love him in this spot. He is only on DraftKings. I realize that. But you're going to get a double-double bonus. He's 6'6 over there. The minutes have not been perfect. Why? Well, they don't need to play a guy who's got a little bit of a hammy issue when they have Dante Exum absolutely playing phenomenally well. If you get 30 minutes of Ricky Rubio, I'm telling you, the sky is the limit. The man last night against Golden State, 20 minutes of action, 1.8 fantasy points per minute, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 13 points. You get that well-rounded line that just stacks up. He's influencing every single play. He's grabbing rebounds. He's throwing an assist ahead, right? That is the kind of thing that you love from Ricky Rubio. You get those big, big performances. He struggled in one game, left with an injury, only 20 minutes against Portland earlier this season. Only 8 points. It's not a good matchup on paper. Damian Lillard has been tough against the point guard. In fact, you are looking at a matchup that is literally one of the worst as far as point guard efficiency. It is the worst in efficiency plus minus on the season. So not phenomenal matchup, but we know that this is a playoff environment. It doesn't necessarily matter. You're going to get 30 minutes from Rubio here. I like it. I think he's an interesting way. High floor play at 6,600. Teague and Murray, they are both on FanDuel, 7,400, 72 on DK for Jeff Teague, 6,400 for Jamal Murray. Now, for me, I gravitate towards Jeff Teague in this situation. Two reasons. One, minutes. There's no question to me he plays 35-plus minutes in this situation. He has the better matchup on paper, okay? Plus 2.4 in point guard efficiency, plus 3 in point guard FanDuel plus minus. He did not play well against his team. 35 minutes, 25 fantasy points. Part of that is the fact that he did not have any blocks or steals. No peripheral stats, and that's not normal for him necessarily. He's averaged 1.5, two total steals and blocks combined, 1.4, one and a half a block a season, or excuse me, a game. There's 6 points right there. You get him over 30, I think that then you start to think, okay, well, the floor is there. But he's proved he has a ceiling in the last two games, 47 against Lakers, 47 against Memphis. We know that he has a ceiling. Denver has allowed some big games to the point guard. We've seen it. It's over the years. The trend is there. He's at home. Two big games to the point guard of late. Eric Bledsoe and Russell Westbrook, 70 and 50. Now, the last three games, it's been a little bit tougher. Austin Rivers, Dame, Jeff Teague, all struggled. But playoff environment, plenty of good run for Jeff Teague in this situation. I think you could get behind him as a high floor play. Jamal Murray, on the other hand, I think he's taking a back seat. And if he's not hitting his shots, which he wasn't against Portland, his game is pretty flat. He doesn't create. He shoots. And, you know, he just is, he's not, this isn't John Wall, right? you watch the kid and like, he's very good. You know, you get a DHO, a screen, he lets Jokic go to work and then he flies to the corner and tries to throw one up. If he's not going to shoot well, you worry about that. And, you know, he had 22 points in the game again, 22 real life points against the Wolves, 27 fantasy points. With Gary Harris back in the lineup, I worry. I just don't really love the way he plays. I think he scares me a little bit. I don't mind him, but he's got to learn to be a little bit more of a traditional point guard, not just a spot shooter. So not a huge fan of Jamal Murray tonight. I think he probably defers to some of the more ball-dominant guys, the creators, the Gary Harris's, the Will Bartons, and the Nikola Jokic and Paul Millsap. Just lets those guys experience carry them. Now, if he gets hot, he's going to probably win somebody a tournament. So if he starts hitting that three. But that's a big if. You don't want to rely on just a shooter. But a shooter does come with a ceiling, especially for the price. You could see him go for 40. He went for 40 against his team twice this year and two losses. 30 real-life points and then 21 real-life points. So the matchup is there. It's been a thing against Jeff Teague. But then again, you reel it back in. You know it's a playoff environment. The defense will be there. Is he going to be able to overcome that? I don't know. I'm going to go back to Donnie Mitch on DraftKings, 8K. He's got playoff jeans, man. This guy is the, and I'm not talking about the pants, right? He can do it. You saw him destroy early in that game. Came out of the gate, scored 11 points really fast against the Warriors. He knows how to step on the throat. 31 and only 26 minutes there against them. So you put Donovan Mitchell in the same environment tonight against Portland on the road. Must-win situation. You have to expect that he's going to be aggressive. You like an aggressive player like this, Donnie Mitch. Portland, tough matchup on the perimeter. They're going to be ready for him. He struggled with this team. Once 27 fantasy points, 37 in a previous matchup against them as well. So you can kind of see the range of outcomes. The ceiling isn't necessarily going to be there, but I think it's a very high floor play. I don't love his price, but I do love the situation. So in that respect, I think I could go there. Could you go to the opposite side to CJ McCollum? Yes, but he's been hard to project, and he has not played particularly well. And if he's not shooting well, then you're in trouble with him. Let's move over to my man, Luke Kennard. What, Sean? Luke Kennard. Yes, Luke Kennard. Luke Kennard is on this slate at 6,100 on FanDuel, 4,300 on DraftKings. Lock button DraftKings. Lock button DraftKings play. Guys, it's just the Detroit guys are so easy to like on DraftKings tonight. Kennard has been playing 30-plus minutes. He's been scoring regularly over a fantasy point per minute, especially now with Blake out of the lineup. His usage has gone up to nearly 23% in that Toronto game. He scored 33 across 34 minutes. He played Chicago earlier this year. Just in the last month, actually, twice, he has had nearly a fantasy point. He had over a fantasy point per minute in that against them, 26 minutes, 30 fantasy points. He had 24 in just 30 minutes against them. So this is a nice high floor situation. We know we can attack Chicago at the shooting guard. It's been a plus matchup all year long, and it is the best matchup in efficiency plus minus that there is on the slate. So no problem going straight back to Luke Kennard. On DK, I'm going straight back to Josh Hart. Love Josh Hart in this situation, 6,500. No problem with him. He continues to prove that he's capable. The Clippers situation against the two, always good. Want to continue to go there. We just saw Jrue Holiday smash. So shooting guards against the Clippers is the second best trend on the year in efficiency in FanDuel plus minus behind the Bulls. And in the last two, they've given up two monster games to the shooting guard position, and they've given up 11%+ to the position. So Josh Hart, very, very interested in him at 6,500. Luke Kennard, though, just so cheap. 61 on FanDuel, but DK, man, some of the pricing on DK tonight, you can really, really get after it. You love it. Now, Brad Beal, didn't mention him. I don't know if he's going to play, but I think he will. He struggled last night from the field against Boston. Just wasn't hitting. wasn't getting, you know, deferring to John Wall, who was on fire. Every play was going through Wall. He was having one of those games, and it was really fun to watch, to see him back in good form, just speed, and the ball was just zipping. He's super aggressive with it, and you worry about some of these passes. Like, he had a pass last night that was just kind of stupidly aggressive, hit the backboard. It was like, John, tone it back. But Bradley Beal against Orlando in a situation where he wants to win, yeah, I'm in. No John Wall. Yeah, I mean, he went out earlier this year with no John Wall. Him and Sato went out there against Orlando. 30 minutes, he puts up 45 fantasy points, 1.5 fantasy points per minute. Yes, 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 yes. Orlando continues to be a spot that we can attack at the shooting guard. I like Brad Beal. He's expensive, but I like him. I think it's an interesting way. I don't know if people will pay for him. On this big slate, I don't think people will. So I like Brad in this spot. Moving over to the small forward, give me Paul George. Anytime he's under 8K, I'm in. He's going to play 40 minutes. He's got Memphis. It's a great matchup on the wing. They've been terrible against the shooting guard. They've been struggling with the small forward. I have no question in my mind that Paul George will play well at home, playoff environment. He said he was struggling with his shot recently. He seems to be okay, you know, a little bit better. He's going to shoot his way out of it. He's not going to not shoot, you know. And you have Memphis here, a team that he can easily take advantage of. He had went for 56 and 46. So all of a sudden you get Paul George at 7,800 for a team that he has smashed for 50 points on average in the last two opportunities. Yes, Paul George, he's borderline lock button. If you want to be really different, though, tonight, Jimmy. Tell me Jimmy doesn't play 30 minutes tonight. Everybody who knows, if you've ever watched Jimmy Butler, hard to say he doesn't play. He's going to play. There's no question in my mind that Jimmy Butler plays, and he plays plays playoff basketball. 7,874 on DK. Jimmy, I think, shows up. It's either win or go home, and there's no reason that he doesn't play. He doesn't play full speed. Against Denver earlier, you know, and look, he looked okay. The minutes he's played a total of 25 or 45 minutes against the Lakers and the Grizz. Okay. He has scored 33 points. Okay. He's been efficient. He's been getting to the rim. You know, 3 of 8, 7 of 10, some good numbers there. Not bad. Earlier this year, against Denver, had 36 in one game, 53 in the other. You know, he has a ceiling. And if there's anybody who wants to take over and challenge this team, it's going to be Jimmy Butler in this situation at home. So Jimmy has a lot riding on this one. I think there's a lot tied up in this game for him. And I think if there's one player who takes over tonight, it's Jimmy Butler. He has the experience, the playoff experience of all these guys. I mean, Paul Millsap too, but like Jimmy just has, I think, you know, a little bit more to fight for as far as just the way this season has gone. It's interesting to me. So Jimmy is a good way to be different. I think Paul George is borderline lock for me in this situation. Moving over to power forward. It's bad. It's bad, which is part of the reason why you maybe are interested in it's a high or a low, right? You could go with LaMarcus and then a cheapie. The mid-range is rough. Eric Moreland costs $6,700 fucking dollars, which is just stupid. And, like, you know, it's obvious that someone on FanDuel.com just decided to slide the, you know, expense button like way up to just like $6,700, change his price. Not awesome, but what are you gonna do? He's a fantasy point per minute guy. He's got Chicago, great matchup. He could easily go for 40 here. It's just really hard to talk yourself into paying $6,700 for a guy who literally can't get minutes during the regular season. 43 on DK is totally fine. Lock him in, great. Moving you know, over a little bit, Ersan, man, he's been so useful for this team, although I do like Dario, but Dario is not as offensive as Ersan is. Ersan scores. He is that second unit scorer. He has been absolutely excellent in that role. He is 6,300. I'm interested in him. The man has a ceiling too, which is just crazy how we've seen him go for 40 plus. You like the matchup at the center position against Milwaukee. Yes, I'm interested. I also have some interest in the opposite side of this You know, I have some interest in John Henson. John Henson to me is interesting. No Joel Embiid. What did we see from them in the Atlanta game? Nice game from John Collins. Nice game from Dwayne Dedman. So I think that you could go to Johnny Henson here. And you're not going to expect a ceiling, but I think you can expect a pretty clear floor of about 25 against this team. He's going to play the minutes in the middle. You're going to get 26 to 30 minutes from him. And without Embiid out there, this is a plus matchup. He had 22. He had a fantasy point per minute against them last time with Embiid on the floor. So he's never really had a bust against this team. It's not really that sexy. Like, the ceiling is 35, 36. But it's not a bad situation against a team that can't protect the paint. If you get 39 or 40 like you did against the Knicks, and you're pretty pleased with it. So I think there's a situation where you could talk yourself into John Henson as well if you're not going to go down to some of the value guys. Moving over to the center position, there is not a lot that I like here at the center position that is below 9K. It's hard to say that you can trust any of these guys in their situation. I think Whiteside, maybe if you were a Whiteside guy, but who knows? You know, I mean, that's hard. Steven Adams, definitely possible. 6K, 6'3 on DK. He is absolutely interesting against a Memphis team without Marc Gasol. And without Marc Gasol, the numbers just are very, very different. They're number one in the league to protecting the rim and protecting the paint with Marc Gasol in there. Okay. And the trend is not good. But when you start Ivan Robb and Deontay Davis, the trend changes completely. And we're looking at two games in the most recent with Willie Cauley-Stein and Karl Anthony Towns, 43 and 50 fantasy points. So they're not necessarily going to challenge Mr. Adams. Now, he was a little bit banged up and did not play in the end of that game against the Rockets. Was that the last game? The Heat. He played a little bit at the end of the game, but not a ton. So make sure he's playing. Make sure he's healthy. I think he's interesting. But at the same price, you get an even better matchup against a team that is absolutely terrible. You get my man, Greg Monroe, 6K against Brooklyn. And listen, here's what you're predicting. You're predicting, when I say Greg Monroe, I'm predicting some or multiple players on the Celtics sit. Okay? That's one of the things I'm predicting. The second thing that I'm predicting is that Greg Monroe gets over 24 minutes, primarily because hopefully Al Horford doesn't play. Al Horford doesn't play, Greg Monroe becomes chalk, but I think it's interesting. Either way, he's 6K, he has a ceiling. It's the best matchup on the slate, basically, for a center. And then you're not paying 6'7 for fucking Eric Moreland. So very, very interested in this spot for Greg Monroe. All right, let's go over to the value bargain basement here. We will do both a FanDuel edition and a DraftKings edition of bargain basementing because we have to, because the slates are so wildly different, which is obnoxious. Usually I can just go to FanDuel and there's guaranteed that if a guy's 5,500 and below, he's going to be 5,500 and below on DraftKings. Point guard position on FanDuel, 5,500 and below. You could talk me into Jerian Grant, I guess, or Cameron Payne. I don't want to, but you could. Patty Mills is one of the guys that I'm very interested in. Satoransky is the other guy. Both 4,500. Patty Mills has been playing over 30 minutes for this team. He's not got a ceiling necessarily, but you could get 30 out of him, 28 out of him. Fantasy point per minute and a plus matchup against the point guard. Now, his minutes have come completely and wholly at the expense of Deontay Murray and Danny Green. If that changes, then he's going to go back to his 24-minute role, and that's not ideal. But I think Patty Mills is interesting. He's an interesting way to be different. The chalk will be Thomas Satoransky, and he should be chalk. He blew this team up last time out. He's got a nice floor, 15, 16 fantasy points. You're going to see him probably have a nice game and be owned very, very highly. Anybody else, it's about the injuries for me. You got to pay attention to the injury news. That's it. Shane Larkin is the other guy. I think if you get 25 minutes of Shane Larkin against the Nets, you could definitely have a nice nice outcome here. He's not necessarily, he's a floor play, right? 25 minutes of him against this team could mean 25 fantasy points, and at 3,600, you're okay with that. At shooting guard, 5'5 and below, you know, there is something to be said for Sean Kilpatrick. He's been like the leading scorer for the Bulls in the last couple games. He's had 30 fantasy points in all four of them. There's something to be said for that. Okay, he's 5,100. He gets 6X at him. Boom. I think people have been playing him. I have not been playing him. But yes, you could play him. Dwayne Wade, playoff environment, Toronto. 25 minutes of playoff Dwayne Wade at 4,400. Yeah. Yes, you could get 25 plus out of him for sure. Same goes for Danny Green. I think you could get, you know, he's not quite the scorer, but you could definitely get a good outcome from him. Justin Holiday is very, very cheap. He's interesting. And then, of course, you have the Memphis guys who are just so, so infuriatingly hard to project that you almost don't want to do it. And I don't blame you. Small forward. Moving over to the small forward. Stanley Johnson is the first one that pops to me because he has the Bulls. He is 5,400. I love that matchup. I'm into it. We will see a whole lot of Kelly Oubre because I don't think that Otto Porter is going to play. 4,800 for Kelly Oubre. Very interesting. The problem with Stanley Johnson and Kelly Oubre is you can't play Paul George. And I want to play Paul George. So that's complicated. That's complicated. By the way, you guys are going to probably wonder why didn't I talk about LeBron? LeBron doesn't have anything to fight for. I mean, he could potentially move up to the three. I don't think he has anything to fight for. I don't see a ceiling for this price tag. I see another 40-point game. That's it. Moving over to the power forward. Sorry, that was just an aside. Anthony Tolliver, 5,400 versus the Bulls. He's been very consistent, playing pretty well. 25-plus minutes, 25-plus points. Yep. Bulls are terrible. Yep. Going after that, no problem with that whatsoever. Henry Ellison will also play behind him, so he works well there. Let's see who the Raptors start. If we get some Pascal Siakam, he could be interesting. Let's see who Cleveland is going to play. I think you could do Jeff Green against New York if for example Kevin Love is out. He would be interesting to me. Amir Johnson is interesting to me, sort of, against Milwaukee. I think you're attacking the center there. He's going to be the starting center. He's interesting to me. So, yeah, that's it. At the center position, 5'5 and below, I'm looking at Deontay Davis, sure. Cristiano Felicio, sure. Maybe if you get no Jonas Valanciunas, you could play some Jakob Poeltl, that kind of thing. So, that's it. That's it. Let's go over to DK. I'll give you guys a couple DK potential value plays from some of the other games that we don't have access to, although those games are pretty competitive. On DK, let's go 5K and below at the point guard position. DJ Augustine is going to play 29 minutes. Kobe Simmons is there as well. I think that's about it. Not a lot to love. I can't play George Hill, even in a decent matchup. I'm not going to play him. They could sit him. So that's kind of it for me. On the shooting guard side of things, Bogdan is interesting. You know he's going to play 30 minutes. He's at home. It's not a perfect matchup, but a tanking Houston team, that doesn't really scare me. I think the price is nice. Patty Mills falls into that category as well. Justin Holiday, a lot of the same guys that I talked about, but Luke Kennard is obviously borderline lock for me at 4,300. I love that spot for him on DraftKings. At the small forwards position, Trevor Ariza is 5,500. If you get James Harden out and Ariza goes, then okay, fine, you good. Kyle Anderson is interesting to me at 4,500 against the Pelicans. He's been very consistent. I don't know what else to say. He's been very consistent. So that's that. Gosh, this is rough. Yeah, that's it. That's all I'm going with. DK over at the power forward position. Keith at 5,600 is interesting. Ivan Robb, 52. He's going to play. Jeff Green, same bucket as what I said before. If you get no Kevin Love, he's in play. Center on DK. Gortat, Nah. Okay. Davis is cheaper. I like that. Eric Moreland, though, is the lock button play for me at the center position. Okay, let's throw together a quick lineup over on FanDuel.com. Let's say, for example, I'm going with Russ. I'm going to go with Tomas Sinaransky. I'm going to go with Luke Kennard. And then I want to get Paul George in there at 7,800. It gives me $3,900 for, well, sorry, Sadaransky, Kennard, Paul George, Kelly Oubre, Anthony Tolliver, LaMarcus Aldridge, which is complicated. Let me look at my power forwards here. Let me see if I can get a little bit more salary relief here. I do like LaMarcus, though, quite a bit. I mean, if you go down a power forward off of LaMarcus, then you have some interesting ways that you can go. You know, we'll have to wait for some news here, but there's definitely some ways that you can go. You know, I can't pay for Eric Moreland. That's so annoying that he's that expensive. But let's go to the center position. Let's go to Cristiano Felicio there. He's 4,600. He's pretty cheap. Let's assume that Vonleh is out. He's interesting. Yeah, let's go to that. Let's get a cheapy center here. Kelly Oubre, Paul George, Luke Kennard. I'm going to need another shooting guard here. This is the real issue. Let's go to Sean Kilpatrick, and let me see if then I can jam in LaMarcus and somebody else. Yeah, okay, there we go. Okay, so this actually works pretty well. This actually works pretty well. So this is Russ, Tomas Sadaransky, Luke Kennard, Sean Kilpatrick, Paul George, Kelly Oubre, LaMarcus Aldridge, Anthony Tolliver, Cristiano Felicio. That is an ugly, ugly team, but I do have a couple pieces that I really like. I really, really like the point guards. I'm fine with Russ and Tomas Sadaransky. I like Kennard. I think he's going to be a nice high floor 30-point play. I love Paul George. I love LaMarcus, right? And everything else is just minutes. So that's it. Guys, I love you. Good luck tonight. I will see you for baseball season. Thank you for all your support over this year of NBA. It's been a whole lot of fun. We'll talk to you for the baseball shows.